From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Criticism of the federal government's response to Hurricane Katrina escalates as untold thousands are dead or lost.
Get to some radio station. Get somewhere. Let me know where y'all at.
Dennis.
I'm missing y'all. Right now I'm at the airport. They have to helicopter me out of there. I'm hurting. I'm sick. And I'm missing y'all. Love you.
Today we hear from the refugees from New Orleans to Baton Rouge. And President Bush has nominated Judge John Roberts to be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. This after the death of William Rehnquist. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In New Orleans, officials have begun house-to-house searches looking for survivors from last week's devastating Hurricane Katrina. Over the weekend, tens of thousands of city residents were evacuated, including everyone staying at the Superdome and Convention Center. But the death toll is expected to reach into the thousands. Louisiana Senator David Vitter said 10,000 people might have died in Louisiana alone. Rooftop rescues continue. On Saturday alone, law enforcement agencies fielded about 1,000 distress 9/11 calls from people still trapped in attics of buildings surrounded by water. 500,000 people have now been displaced from their homes. 20 states have opened up shelters, homes, and schools to those who have evacuated from the Gulf region. Meanwhile, calls are increasing for heads to roll within the Bush administration over the federal government's slow response to the disaster. On Sunday, the Times-Picayune newspaper of New Orleans published an open letter to President Bush calling for the firing of Michael Brown, the director at FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, as well as every other top official at the agency. The paper wrote, quote, "Our people deserve rescuing. Many who could have been were not. That's to the government's shame." Despite the widespread criticism, President Bush publicly praised Brown Friday during his visit to the region. The president said, quote, "Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job." On Sunday, Aaron Broussard, the president of Jefferson Parish, appeared on NBC's Meet the Press and accused the federal government of abandoning the people of New Orleans. He broke down crying as he recalled how the mother of one of his colleagues died after waiting days to be rescued. He also said FEMA turned away trucks from Walmart loaded with water and that FEMA prevented the Coast Guard from delivering 1,000 gallons of fuel. In Washington, the Bush White House has responded to the mounting criticism by trying to shift the blame to local and state officials in Louisiana. According to the New York Times, this is part of a coordinated public relations campaign led by President Bush's chief advisor, Karl Rove. The Times reports, in many ways, the unfolding PR campaign reflects the style Rove has brought to the political campaigns he's run for Bush. Meanwhile, the Washington Post has been forced to print a retraction after it published as fact a claim sourced to a, quote, senior Bush official that the relief effort was delayed in part because Louisiana's Democratic governor, Kathleen Blanco, never declared a state of emergency. In fact, Blanco did just that 4 days before the hurricane hit. In addition, several top federal government officials were sent to the devastated area over this past weekend, including Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, and General Richard Myers, the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. President Bush is returning to the region today. Rice had been vacationing in New York up until Thursday. The Daily News reports she saw the Monty Python play Spamalot on Broadway, took tennis lessons from Monica Seles, and went shoe shopping on Fifth Avenue. The shopping experience didn't go quite as planned. A fellow shopper shouted at her, "How dare you shop for shoes while thousands are dying and homeless?" That shopper was removed from the store. Vice President Dick Cheney has also ended his vacation. He'd stayed in Wyoming all of last week. The White House has also been forced to defend charges that the rescue effort would have been much quicker if New New Orleans had not been a predominantly African-American city. On Friday, the head of the Congressional Black Caucus, Elijah Cummings, said it should not, quote, be that the differences between those who live and those who die are poverty and skin color. That same night, one of the biggest names in hip-hop, Kanye West, appeared during a fundraiser on NBC. He broke from the pre-written script and said, quote, George Bush doesn't care about black people. NBC censored West's comments from the West Coast broadcast of the telethon. On the following day, Condoleezza Rice, the Bush administration's highest-ranking African-American, said, quote, I don't believe for a minute anybody allowed people to suffer because they're African-Americans. I just don't believe it for a minute. She added, nobody, especially the president, would have left people unintended on the basis of race. Meanwhile, some National Guard officials compared the efforts in New Orleans to U.S. military operations in Africa. Gary Jones, the commander of the Louisiana National Guard Joint Task Force, told Army Times on Friday, quote, this place is going to look like Little Somalia. We're going to go out and take this city back. This will be a combat operation to get this city under control. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld was asked about the Army Times article on Sunday.
Army Times is reporting that combat operations are underway to take back the streets of New Orleans. Can you tell me what that means?
I'm sorry, I can't. The Department of Defense is not involved in law enforcement in the state of Louisiana. We're here to assist with evacuation. We're here to assist with humanitarian activities and medical assistance of various types. And so you'll have to ask the authorities for that.
That was Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. On Sunday, people shot dead. Five men walking across the New Orleans Bridge. Details are sketchy, but police say the men opened fire on contractors working for the Army Corps of Engineers. Concerns are also growing over the long-term environmental effects. Homeland Security Director Michael Chertoff is describing the hurricane as, quote, probably the greatest environmental mess we've ever seen in this country. A major oil spill has been spotted near the Louisiana town of Venice on the Mississippi River, but cleanup crews have been unable to reach the spill. Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality said a flyover revealed a leak from tanks capable of holding 85,000 barrels of fuel. Some 60 nations have offered to help the United States with handling the catastrophe. Cuban President Fidel Castro has offered to donate doctors and medicine. Canada has offered 3 warships and a Coast Guard vessel loaded with relief supplies and 1,000 personnel. Mexico is sending 15 truckloads of water, food, and medical supplies via Texas. And the Mexican Navy has offered to send 2 ships, 2 helicopters, and 15 amphibious vehicles. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez has offered to send cheap fuel, humanitarian aid, and relief workers to the disaster area. And Dick Cheney's former company, Halliburton, is back in the news. The company has been hired to help rebuild naval and marine facilities on the Gulf Coast that were damaged during the hurricane. Meanwhile, in Washington, D.C., William Rehnquist, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, has died at the age of 80. He'd been diagnosed with thyroid cancer a year ago. President Nixon appointed Rehnquist to the court in 1972. He had served as Chief Justice since 1986 and oversaw the court move to the right. In 1973, he cast one of the 2 dissenting votes in Roe v. Wade. Nearly 3 decades later, he helped President Bush take the presidency in the Bush v. Gore case that stopped the recount in Florida. Rehnquist's death opens up a second vacancy on the court. His death came just days before Tuesday's scheduled opening of Senate confirmation hearings for John Roberts, who is a former clerk of Rehnquist's. The Washington Post is reporting that Bush may now nominate Roberts to become Chief Justice. Democrats are calling for the Roberts hearings to be postponed on account of the death of Chief Justice William Rehnquist and Hurricane Katrina. This marks the first time since 1971 that the court has had 2 vacancies. Rehnquist's funeral is set for Wednesday. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
And welcome to our listeners and viewers. Criticism continues to escalate over the federal response to Hurricane Katrina. Both Democrats and Republicans have expressed outrage over the lack of coordination, and the press has been unusually tough when pressing authorities for answers. On Sunday's Meet the Press program, host Tim Russert interviewed the director of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff.
Mr. Secretary, are you or anyone who reports to you contemplating resignation?
You know, Tim, what we're contemplating now is the fact that we are very, very much in the middle of the crisis. There's a bit of a sense that you get that some people think it's now time to draw a sigh of relief and go back and do the after-action analysis. And there'll be plenty of time for that. We obviously need to look very closely at things that worked well, and many things did work well, and some things that didn't work well, and some things did not work well.
Mr. Stop. Secretary, you say pre-stage, people were sent to the convention center. There was no water, no food, no beds, no authorities there. There was no planning.
You know, my understanding is, and again, this is something that's going to go back, we're going to go back over after the fact is, the plan that the New Orleans officials and the state officials put together called for the Superdome to be the refuge of last resort. We became aware of the fact at some point that people began to go to the convention center on their own, spontaneously, in order to shelter there. And I think it's for that reason that people found themselves without food and water and supplies.
Well, Mr. Secretary, Mr. Secretary, there was no food or water at the Superdome either.
Minutes later on Meet the Press, Tim Russert interviewed Aaron Broussard, the president of Jefferson Parish in Louisiana. He accused the federal government of abandoning the people of New Orleans. Russert asked Broussard to respond to Homeland Security Director Michael Chertoff's explanation of the federal response to the hurricane.
We have been abandoned by our own country. Hurricane Katrina will go down in history as one of the worst storms ever to hit an American coast, but the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina will go down as one of the worst abandonments of Americans on American soil ever in U.S. history. I am personally asking our bipartisan congressional delegation here in Louisiana to immediately begin congressional hearings to find out just what happened here, why did it happen, who needs to be fired, and believe me, they need to be fired right away because we still have weeks to go in this tragedy. We have months to go. We have years to go. And whoever's at the top of this totem pole, that totem pole needs to be chainsawed off, and we've got to start with some new leadership. It's not just Katrina that caused all these deaths in New Orleans here. Bureaucracy has committed murder here in the greater New Orleans area, and bureaucracy has to stand trial before Congress now. It's so obvious. FEMA needs more congressional funding. It needs more presidential support. It needs to be a cabinet-level director. It needs to be an independent agency that will be able to fulfill its mission to work in partnership with state and local governments around America.
Jefferson Parish President Aaron Broussard speaking yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press following an interview host Tim Russert did with Director of Homeland Security Michael Chertoff. Chertoff had defended the response to Hurricane Katrina by federal authorities, shifting the blame to local governments. Host Tim Russert asked Broussard whether local officials had more responsibility to bear for last week's horrific shortcomings. Broussard continues.
Three quick examples. We had Walmart deliver three trucks of water, trailer trucks of water. FEMA turned them back. They said we didn't need them. This was a week ago. FEMA, we had 1,000 gallons of diesel fuel on a Coast Guard vessel docked in my parish. The Coast Guard said, come get the fuel right away. When we got there with our trucks, they got a word. FEMA says, don't give you the fuel. Yesterday, FEMA comes in and cuts all of our emergency communication lines. They cut them without notice. Our sheriff, Harry Lee, goes back in. He reconnects the line. He posts armed guards on our line and says no one's getting near these lines. Sheriff Harry Lee said that if American government would have responded like Walmart has responded, we wouldn't be in this crisis. But I want to thank Governor Blanco for all she's done and all her leadership. She's sending the National Guard. I just repaired a breach on my side of the 17th Street Canal that the secretary didn't foresee, a 300-foot breach. I just completed it yesterday with convoys of National Guard and local parish workers and levee board people. It took us 2.5 days working 24/7. I just closed it. I'm telling you, most importantly, I want to thank my public employees that have worked 24/7, that burn out, the doctors, the nurses. And I want to give you one last story, and I'll shut up and let you tell me whatever you want to tell me. The guy who runs this building I'm in, emergency management, he's responsible for everything. His mother was trapped
in St. Bernard Nursing Home. And every day she called him and said, are you coming, son? Is somebody coming? And she said, yeah, Mama, somebody's coming to get you. Somebody's coming to get you on Tuesday. Somebody's coming to get you on Wednesday. Somebody's coming to get you on Thursday. Somebody's coming to get you on Friday. And she drowned it Friday night. She drowned it Friday night.
Mr. President.
Nobody's coming to get us. Nobody's coming to get us. The secretary has promised. Everybody's promised. They've had press conferences. I'm sick of the press conferences. For God's sakes, shut up and send us somebody.
Just take a pause, Mr. President.
Jefferson Parish President Aaron Broussard speaking on Meet the Press yesterday. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. Our colleagues at Democracy Now!, producers Sharif Abdelkaddous and John Hamilton, went down to New Orleans this weekend. As they made their way to New Orleans Airport, they spoke with refugee after refugee about their experience.
Lionel Singleton, I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. I live at 9722 West Wheaton Circle. That's my family out there, Lena, Josh, Jasmine, my mama, my brothers, anybody. I'm okay for right now. I'm trying to survive. Please make sure you have your cell phones on or whatever. And when I get to my destination, I'm going to try to call you wherever they bring us at. I'm not really sure exactly where we're going, Lena. I'm not sure, boo, but I love y'all. I'm trying to be strong. Y'all be strong for me. And as soon as I get to where I'm going, I'm going to try to call you some kind of way. I just want to tell you, it's a bad day here in the city of New Orleans. It's really bad. I didn't think it was going to turn out to be this way. And we just trying to get out of here. They're doing the best they can, but I hope they hurry up and do it because I'm getting tired. I'm really getting tired, Lena. So I hope this is over with pretty soon and I'll be able to see y'all pretty soon.
Where were you in the hurricane hit?
Well, I was at my house in the hurricane. I was supposed to leave Sunday, and I couldn't leave because the water came up so fast Sunday night. And I put a hole in my roof to try to get out. And I stayed there for 2 days. Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, I stayed there on top of the roof. And it was hard. And I had swim the shore to the policeman, and they had a raft boat to pick me up on Chef and Crowder. And we brought us to the convention center. They brought us to the, and we've been over there ever since. So now today is a new day, and now we're here. And I'm just trying to wait and hold out long as I can, Lena. But I want you to know I'm alive. I'm trying to survive for y'all because I love y'all very much. And just tell everybody, but as soon as I get to some kind of destination, I will try to call. I will try to call. Thank you.
How many days were you at the convention center?
Three and a half days. Three and a half days.
Could you describe what it was like there?
Scary. No light. No bathroom to use. No water. Sleeping on the ground, sleeping inside the convention center. It was scary. The whole 3 nights I've been there, it was real scary. And I feel a little safe now because the police are out, the guards are out. But I still don't feel safe until I see somebody from my family. Somebody. Thank you.
How were you brought here?
We were brought here by a helicopter. The United States Marine helicopter brought us to the airport. And so now we have to wait here to find out what's going on. But another thing, everything in New Orleans is gone. We don't have nothing in New Orleans left. Everything is underwater, no lights, no air conditioning. I mean, everything is gone. And we lost everything, Lena. I want you to know, babe, we lost everything. Everything. The house, my truck, everything. Dusty is still in the attic. I don't know. I hope he survived or whatever. I couldn't bring him with me. Dusty's in the attic. But I just want to tell y'all, it's a sad day in New Orleans, a sad day. Sad day. Thank you.
Do you know what's going to happen to you now?
No, I don't know. I'm going with the flow now. I don't know exactly what's going on. I'm going with the flow. And I just pray to God everything work out all right. And that's all I have right now is faith. I only have faith. So I just ask Lord to take care of me and these people out here because we really need it. And I'll see you soon, boo, because I love you very much because I miss you. I want you to know that. I miss my family. Thank you.
My name is Patricia Holmes. Our apartment building, it was flooded up to the fourth floor in the lobby. Well, we were safe. Well, we were out on the fourth floor. But after the generators went out, they had to evacuate us, too.
And how long were you there for?
Well, we were there until Thursday night. We was at my apartment building until Thursday night. Thursday night, they taken us out in a 18-wheeler and brought us to the convention center. And now it's 1 o'clock Saturday, and they're bringing us here to the New Orleans International Airport.
What was it like in the convention center?
Horrible.
Can you describe what it was like, the conditions?
Well, worse than what it is over there, with feces, and it was had when the generator went out over there last night, and we had to sit outside on the side, you know, the sidewalk and everything. But the stench was terrible. Well, some of them is in Atlanta, and some of them's in Houston, Texas.
My name is Gerald Jenkins. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Where in New Orleans?
Oh, in the AWOL, you hear me?
Where were you when the hurricane hit?
I was in the Lafitte Project, the housing developments.
And we went to the convention center for 8 days.
8 days strong. Sleeping outside, 8 days. That's how they do it, nigga, down here, though, you hear me?
We had no food. No water, till no lights, no nothing. People was getting killed, they're getting raped. The buses said they coming, but them bitches too late.
Jocelyn Simmons Ellis. I'm missing you. I haven't seen you since Tuesday. Wait, oh, y'all. I had to leave out the house because the water was coming. And the water got almost into the house, but I stopped it by putting blankets and stuff by the door. But Jocelyn, get to some radio station, get somewhere. Let me know where y'all at. I'm missing y'all. Right now I'm at the airport. They had to helicopter me out of there. I'm hurting, I'm sick, and I'm missing y'all. Love you.
Just some of the survivors of Hurricane Katrina speaking outside New Orleans Airport this weekend as residents continued to be evacuated from the city. Thousands of residents brought to the airport, which was serving as a giant triage center. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. We'll be back in a minute.
What has happened down here? Is the wind have changed? Clouds rolled in from the north and it started to rain. It rained real hard and it rained for a real long time. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline. The river rose all day, the river rose all night. Some people got lost in the flood, some people got away all right. The river had busted through, cleared down the plaque of mine. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline.
Louisiana, Aaron Neville, here on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, a son of New Orleans. I'm Amy Goodman here with Juan Gonzalez.
On Friday night, Grammy Award-winning hip-hop superstar Kanye West stunned audiences when he delivered a blistering critique of President Bush and the administration's response to the devastation of Hurricane Katrina. Only a few weeks ago, the 28-year-old West was on the cover of Time magazine that was named to that publication's list of 100 most influential people in the world. The magazine reported that his eagerly anticipated latest album, titled Late Registration, released on August 30th, is widely expected to be the biggest selling record of the year. West was one of several celebrities and singers participating in a live telethon and concert produced by NBC News titled A Concert for Hurricane Relief. Performers included New Orleans natives Harry Connick Jr., Wynton Marsalis, and Aaron Neville. Other speakers included Lindsay Lohan and Leonardo DiCaprio. The live broadcast was run on NBC, MSNBC, and CNBC. West was paired with comedian Mike Myers and was not scheduled to perform, but he read from a script prepared by the network. The segment began with Myers speaking about the devastation Katrina has left in the U.S. South. Then Kanye West departed from his script.
I hate the way they portray us in the media. If you see a black family, it says they're looting. See a white family, it says they're looking for food. And you know it's been 5 days because most of the people are black. And even for me to complain about, I would be a hypocrite because I've tried to turn away from the teacher TV because it's too hard to watch. We already realize a lot of the people that could help are at war right now, fighting another way. And they've given them permission to go down and shoot us.
And subtle, but in even many ways more profoundly devastating, is the lasting damage to the survivors' will to rebuild and remain in the area. The destruction of the spirit of the people of southern Louisiana and Mississippi may end up being the most tragic loss of all.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
After Kanye made that last comment, the camera cut to actor Chris Tucker. MSNBC President Rick Kaplan, the producer of the telethon, had the cameras cut to Tucker after West delivered the unscripted remarks at the concert for Hurricane Relief on Friday on NBC. Tucker was on a different part of the stage and appeared to be looking at something off camera. Viewers could hear West's voice trailing away as his audio was switched off and Tucker began reading from prepared remarks. The network cut West's comments about Bush from their West Coast feed and quickly distanced itself from the artist. The company issued a statement that read in part, quote, Kanye West departed from the scripted comments that were prepared for him, and his opinions in no way represent the views of the network. It would be most unfortunate if the efforts of the artists who participated tonight and the generosity of the millions of Americans who are helping those in need are overshadowed by one person's opinion, the network wrote. West has become increasingly vocal on political matters of late and recently used the video for his Diamonds from Sierra Leone single to highlight the suffering caused by conflict diamonds and human rights abuses that occur in mining them. We turn now to Reverend Al Sharpton.
Yes. Well, more public figures have spoken out, lambasting the government's slow response to the victims of Hurricane Katrina. The Reverend Al Sharpton spoke in Houston on Saturday and said that race played a role. He called President Bush's response to the crisis inexcusable. He noted the difference between the government's rapid response to the hurricane in Florida last year that hit mostly white upper middle class areas and to Hurricane Katrina that hit the mostly black New Orleans and poor areas of Mississippi.
I feel race was a factor. Why? I remember almost a year ago to the day, I was in Florida when a hurricane was coming, not a .4, not a .5. And I saw the White House move. I saw the governor, the president's brother move. National Guard was already alerted before the storm ever hit. It seems to me that if we can be alert in Palm Beach, Florida, we could have been alert in New Orleans.
That was Reverend Al Sharpton speaking in Houston this weekend.
Last Thursday night, New Orleans Mayor C. Ray Nagin blasted the slow pace of federal and state efforts to rescue the tens of thousands still stranded in New Orleans. Earlier that day, he had issued a desperate SOS for help as crowds at the Superdome swelled to 30,000, with another 25,000 at the convention center. The sidewalks were packed with people without food, water, or medical care waiting for buses that were not coming.
Mayor Nagin was interviewed on Thursday night by Garland Robinette on WWLAM, a local New Orleans radio station that's reportedly the only radio station that remained on the air in the city. Nagin demanded more be done to help the citizens of New Orleans. This is an excerpt of what he had to say.
You call him right now, and you call the governor, and you tell him to delegate the powers that they have to the mayor of New Orleans, and we'll get this damn thing fixed. It's politics, man, and they're playing games, and they're spinning. They're out there spinning for the cameras.
But can't they just, if nothing else, look at 25% of their energy coming from the state is not flowing through the pipelines? We're on the verge of anarchy. Can't they understand that they're, if nothing else, they're going to be hurt politically?
I don't know what they're doing. I mean, the air conditioning must be good because I haven't had any in 5 days. And maybe there's some smoke coming out of the air conditioning units that's clogging some folks, their vision.
Have you talked with the president?
I've talked directly with the president.
What did he
say? I've
talked
to the head of the Homeland Security. I've talked to everybody under the sun. I've been out there, man. I flew these helicopters, been in the crowds, talking to people, crying, don't know where their relatives are. I've done it all, man. And I tell you, man, Garland, I keep hearing that it's coming. This is coming, that is coming. And my answer to that today is BS. Where is the beef? Because there is no beef in this city. There's no beef anywhere in southeast Louisiana. And these goddamn ships that are coming, I don't see them.
What did you say to the President of the United States, and what did he say to you?
I basically told him we had an incredible crisis here, and that his flying over in Air Force One does not do it justice. And then I have been all around this city, and I am very frustrated because we are not able to marshal resources, and we're outmanned in just about every respect. You know the reason why the looters got out of control? Because we had most of our resources saving people, thousands of people that were stuck in attics, man, old ladies. When you pull off the doggone ventilator vent and you look down there and they're standing in there in water up to their freaking neck. And they don't have a clue what's going on down here. They flew down here one time, 2 days after the doggone event was over, with TV cameras, AP reporters, all kind of goddamn, excuse my French, everybody in America. But I am pissed.
Did you say to the President of the United States, I need the military in here?
I said I need everything. Now, I will tell you this, and I give the President some credit on this. He sent one John Wayne dude down here that can get some stuff done. And his name is General Honore. And he came off the doggone chopper, and he started cussing, and people started moving. And he's getting some stuff done. They ought to give that guy, if they don't want to give it to me, give him full authority to get the job done. And we can save some people.
What do you need right now to get control of this situation?
I need reinforcements. I need troops, man. I need 500 buses, man. We're talking about, you know, one of the briefings we had, they were talking about getting, public school bus drivers to come down here and bus people out here. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. This is a national disaster. Get every doggone Greyhound bus line in the country and get their asses moving to New Orleans. That's they thinking small, man, and this is a major, major, major deal. And I can't emphasize it enough, man. This is crazy. I've got 15 to 20,000 people over at the convention center. It's bursting at the seams. The poor people in Plaquemines Parish, they're air vacuuming people over here in New Orleans. We don't have anything, and we're sharing with our brothers in Plaquemines Parish. It's awful down here, man.
Do you believe that the president is seeing this, holding news conference on it, but can't do anything until Kathleen Blanco requests him to do it? And do you know whether or not she has made that request?
I have no idea what they're doing, but I will tell you this. You know, God is looking down on all this, and if they are not doing everything in their power to save people, they are going to pay the price. Because every day that we delay, people are dying. And they're dying by the hundreds, I'm willing to bet you. We're getting reports and calls that is breaking my heart from people saying, I've been in my attic. I can't take it anymore. The water is up to my neck. I don't think I can hold out. And that's happening as we speak. And you know what really upsets me, Garland? We told everybody the importance of the 17th Street Canal issue. We said, please, please take care of this. We don't care what you do. Figure it out.
Who'd you say that to?
Everybody. Governor, you know, Homeland Security, FEMA, you name it, we said it. And, you know, they allowed that pumping station next to it, Pumping Station 6, to go underwater. Our Sewage and Water Board people, Marcia St. Martin, stayed there and endangered their lives. And what happened when that pumping station went down, the water started flowing again in the city. And it started getting to levels that probably killed more people. In addition to that, we had water flowing through the pipes in this city. That's a power station over there. So there's no water flowing anywhere on the east bank of Orleans Parish. So a critical water supply was destroyed because of lack of action.
Why couldn't they drop the 3,000-pound sandbags or the containers that they were talking about earlier? Was it an engineering feat that just couldn't be done?
They said it was some pulleys that they had to manufacture, but, you know, in a state of emergency, man, you are creative. You figure out ways to get stuff done. Then they told me that they went overnight and they built 17 concrete structures, and they had the pulleys on them, and they were going to drop them. I flew over that thing yesterday, and it's in the same shape that it was after the storm hit. There is nothing happening. And they're feeding the public a line of bull, and it's spinning, and people are dying down here.
If some of the public called, and they're right, that there's a law that the president, that the federal government can't do anything without local or state request, would you request martial law?
I've already called for martial law in the city of New Orleans. We did that a few days ago.
Did the governor do that too?
I don't know. I don't think so. But we called for martial law when we realized that the looting was getting out of control, and we redirected all of our police officers back to patrolling the streets. They were dead tired from saving people, but they worked all night because we thought this thing was going to blow wide open last night. And so we redirected all of our resources, and we held it under check. I'm not sure if we can do that another night with the current resources. And I am telling you right now, they're showing all these reports of people looting and doing all that weird stuff, and they are doing that. But people are desperate, and they're trying to find food and water, the majority of them. Now, you got some knuckleheads out there, and they are taking advantage of this lawless situation where, you know, we can't really control it, and they are doing some awful, awful things. But that's a small majority of the people. Most people are looking to try and survive. And you've got one of the things people have, nobody's talked about this. Drugs flowed in and out of New Orleans and the surrounding metropolitan area so freely it was scary to me. And that's why we were having the escalation in murders. People don't want to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it. You had drug addicts that are now walking around this city looking for a fix. And that's the reason why they were breaking in hospitals and drug stores. They're looking for something to take the edge off of their Jones, if you will. And right now, they don't have anything to take the edge off. And they probably found guns. So what you're seeing is drug-starving, crazy addicts, drug addicts, that are wreaking havoc. And we don't have the manpower to adequately deal with. We can only target certain sections of the city and form a perimeter around them and hope to God that we're not overrun.
Well, you and I must be in the minority because apparently there's a section of our citizenry out there that thinks because of a law that says the federal government can't come in unless requested by the proper people, that everything that's going on to this point has been done as good as it can possibly be.
Really?
I know you don't feel that way.
Well, did the tsunami victims request? You go through a formal process to request? You know, did the Iraqi people request that we go in there? Did they ask us to go in there? What is more important? This is, you know, and I'll tell you, man, I'm probably going to get in a whole bunch of trouble. I'm probably going to get in so much trouble it ain't even funny. They probably won't even want to deal with me after this interview is over.
Well, you and I'll be in the funny place together.
But we authorized $8 billion to go to Iraq. Lickety-quick. After 9/11, we gave the president unprecedented powers. Lickety-quick. To take care of New York and other places. Now, you mean to tell me that a place where most of your oil is coming through, a place that is so unique, when you mention New Orleans anywhere around the world, everybody's eyes light up. You mean to tell me that a place where you probably have thousands of people that have died and thousands more that are dying every day, that we can't figure out a way to authorize the resources that we need? Come on, man. You know, I'm not one of those drug addicts. I am thinking very clearly. And I don't know whose problem it is. I don't know whether it's the governor's problem. I don't know whether it's the president's problem. But somebody needs to get their ass on a plane and sit down, the two of them, and figure this out right now.
That was New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin, interviewed last Thursday night on the radio station that remained on the air throughout the hurricane, WWLAM in New Orleans. The next day, following the arrival of some National Guard troops and meeting with President Bush, Nagin expressed more hope the city would get the help it needed. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, we go again to New Orleans, and we'll hear from a Green Party candidate for the city council who was busy trying to get water for his community this weekend when he met up with Democracy Now! Producers John Hamilton and Sharif Abdelkadous. Stay with us.
What's up, Your Honor? How you handing out time like it's going out of style? Brothers show up at their trial, just knowing we gon' get it because the system is foul. Really, it's no mystery, and this is convincing me. It's like nonsense. They want us all gone eventually. The penitentiary is filled with potential and dreams never achieved because you had the wrong scene player. Figured we'd be a long way from this. It's so far, still a judge playing favorites. Black man innocent, in a sense it don't matter because he's still in the pen and we seen it. It's happening, no 10 why. Locked inside for crimes they ain't commit, forced to swallow their pride. Mama cries, not my son. He never owned a gun. He ain't perfect, but he ain't the type to shoot someone. Knowing she told him better, time to get it together. We losing people to the system. Stand up and get fed up, okay? Think it's time for a change. Think it's time for a change, yo. Yeah.
Time for a change. Grand Prix here on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
We now turn to someone who has his own criticisms of Mayor Nagin, Malik Rahim. And he was a former veteran of the Black Panther Party in New Orleans for decades. He has worked as an organizer of public housing tenants both there and in San Francisco. He recently ran for New Orleans City Council on the Green Party ticket. Democracy Now! Producers John Hamilton and Sharif Abdelkadous met with Rahim Malik on Sunday afternoon in the Algiers neighborhood of New Orleans, which lies on the West Bank and is the only part of the city that is not flooded. They drove with him to get ice, water, and food for his community. On the way, Malik began by talking about what he would have done differently to deal with the storm.
I would have commandeered everything. Greyhound buses, Amtrak trains, school buses, public service buses, and had them all filled with people, getting them out of harm's way. That was the very first thing I would have done. And then second, I would have asked for volunteers. Volunteers are people that live in the community, that know the community, that didn't need a map to find out where such and such a street exists. And had them, the commander, come back in here. I would have had my police force to commandeer every boat that was available because everybody knew the flooding was going to happen, you know, to make sure that people would have been getting out. I wouldn't have left it on a faith-based community. I would have made sure that everybody would have had a means, that wanted to leave would have had the means to leave. Even if I would have took some of these car dealerships and made every truck that's like this one, I would have went in there and took them all. What's going to happen to them? So what if they messed up? They was going to be flooded anyway. So you're going to lose them one way or another. But it could have got people out of harm's way. You know, there's nowhere in the world I would have put people in that Superdome. Because everybody knew that Superdome was nothing but a death trap. Because if we would have got 30 feet of water, how you was going to survive in that Superdome? I mean, everybody knew this. And then when you start hearing the horror stories, last year we had a test run. A hurricane came, but at the last minute it veered off. So we had a test run, and everybody knew what needed to be in place. And it seemed like he still got caught unprepared with his pants down. Great nigga. No, I don't have no... listen, the little respect I had for him is gone. Same thing about our governor. You know, it's the little respect I had for her. It's gone.
Well, Megan got on the radio and gave an impassioned speech, you know, talking
but it was
about
too late.
How federal authorities failed.
Yeah, but listen, if you get out this car and get under to work on this car, and I run over you, and while you laying there dying, I'm telling you about how sorry I am, what good would that do you? How would you feel? Would you feel better? Well, I'm going to die, but at least he's sorry he killed me. Now, you're still dead. You know, and that's the part of it. You know, it's too late to be talking about who failed. You failed. Because we paid, you know, we elected you to represent us. So if you was waiting on the federal government, then we don't need you as mayor. We need to have the federal government run New Orleans. We don't need you. If you can't lead the city in a time of emergency, you know, this is when we need leadership. This is when we need for the real redneck to come and stand up. You know, not to be on no boat trying to rescue people because you don't fail and now all of a sudden you got a guilt trip. You know, you should have been out here leading everybody by getting them out of the city that could have left. You know what I mean? It just came too little, too late.
The governor?
The governor ain't about nothing. She was just as lost as he was. You know, none of them know what they was doing. You know, and our answer to everything now is sending more troops. Martial law. You know, I mean, for what? I mean, there's no reason for it now. Most of the looters, the people that was doing wrong, that was stealing for all the wrong reason, and done left. Now you just have people here dying that's scared to go in the store to get anything because they're scared that you're going to kill them. She ain't came through here with no compassion. Nothing. You know what I mean? Look how long we've been here. So you tell me she's doing her job? And here, how long we been sitting in this hot sun trying to get ice? Huh? Damn near an hour. You know what I mean? So what is she doing? What is Red Negan doing when he ain't got one place in the whole damn city of New Orleans where we could get services from? That we have to travel this far. And when we get back to New Orleans, I'm going to show you if we could get to that firehouse. They got water stacked up down there to the ceiling. And they ain't giving none of it away. You tell me, if your house is on fire, and I come out there with, even if I just have to have a bucket with water in it, you gonna tell me, oh no, you ain't got to throw that bucket on my house. I'm waiting for the fire department. You ain't got to go in there and rescue my children, because the fireman's gonna be here in a little while to rescue you. And I want order. You'll let anybody and everybody that can help you get out. I bet you it wasn't one person that was out there that was rescued by a civilian that told people, oh, no, man, you ain't got to rescue me. I'm going to wait till Ray Nagin send somebody here for me. He going to send somebody. I know that's a lie. I know ain't nobody going to do that. You're going to jump on anything. And that's the way it should have been done for help. You know, the very first thing he should have done is made sure that one, that the medical assistance that he knew that was going to be needed was made available. He should have had that in place. He should have had food in place. He should have had water in place. He should have had ice in place. He should have had generators in place. That's something that the city could have done, even if they had to commandeer them from these stores. You know, you have backup generators in every one of these high-rise buildings. What's in them? People not living in them. So why couldn't he take them? Or either put people in them. You know, he didn't do either. You know, it's all about property. Everything is about property. I'll tell you what, look at Cuba. Anytime a hurricane, when Hugo was passing through Cuba and it was about to hit Havana, the Cuban government came through there and took everybody out of Havana. I mean, everybody was safe. They ain't had this kind of madness. So why are we going through it? Cuban government done said that they was willing to offer assistance with doctors. They wouldn't even accept them. Now, you tell me doctors isn't needed when you tell me about the people that's dying at the airport. But because of politics, you know, they won't take the aid. You know, it's stupid. It's just straight up stupid.
Malik Rahim speaking in the Algiers neighborhood of New Orleans. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. As we stay in Louisiana, he was interviewed by our producers, Sharif Abdelkaddous and John Hamilton, who have been covering the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana. They join us now from a studio in Lafayette, Louisiana. We welcome both John and Sharif to the studios. Welcome. You're in Baton Rouge right now. It's very good to have you with us. Sharif, can you describe the trip that you took this weekend? Take us through your trip at New Orleans Airport and beyond.
Well, Amy, we arrived in Baton Rouge on a standby flight Friday night. Baton Rouge, of course, has doubled in size, become a town of 600,000 people just from the amount of internally displaced people coming from New Orleans. We managed to rent a car Saturday morning, again, very difficult because of the number of people here, and we drove into New Orleans. There are a couple of checkpoints on I-10, which is the main artery getting into New Orleans, and we got through with our press IDs. The first place we arrived to was the airport, and that it's one thing to see these images on TV, but when you actually see it in real life, the scope of the devastation really hits you and what the crisis is down here. We turned into the airport, got in. There are hundreds of people milling around, busloads being brought in by every few minutes. They're out in the sweltering heat, many of them under an overpass, left basically to their own devices. I mean, inside the airport, there are people lying on stretchers all over the ground, people lined up in wheelchairs. And who are these people that are left there? They are the neediest that have been abandoned, the eldest, the sick, the disabled. And the staff there, although they're doing the best they can, a lot of people from DMAT, which is the I forgot what DMAT stands for, but a lot of people there, people from local hospitals and so forth, are completely overwhelmed. There's something like 80 patients to a doctor, something like that. And so, you know, first it was the Superdome, then the convention center, and now it's the airport that's really become to symbolize the plight of what's happened to the people of New Orleans here. This is a full week after the hurricane hit when we arrived, and really the crisis really hits you hard when you get there. You talk to so many people and you realize the number that have lost loved ones, the number that have no idea what's happening to them. And this is after having lost everything they own in life. Most of them have lost their homes and all their belongings. They've also lost their loved ones, and now they don't even know what's happening to them. They say, I don't know, maybe I'm going to Indianapolis, maybe to Houston. And I think that's the story right now. We're in Baton Rouge right now, and there's about 300,000 people here who are internally displaced people and are not sure what they're doing.
John, there's been a lot of made in the corporate media about the enormous amount of looting and violence. What's your sense of the level of of chaos or anarchy in terms of this whole issue of looting and violence from the people you spoke to?
I'll tell you one. I saw an awful lot of boots on the ground in terms of National Guard. I saw a lot of guns in the air. I'll tell you what I didn't see. I didn't see looting. I didn't see violence. I didn't see rapes occurring. I'm not going to say that these acts and these events didn't occur, but we certainly didn't see any the entire time we were in New Orleans, and we made it all the way downtown through the flooded areas all around the city. And it's my sense, Juan, that the news media reports about violence and looting, and sometimes couched in racist terms, has led to a situation where rescue operators are unwilling to go into areas of the city which are in dire need of rescuers. I'm thinking of areas like the Ninth Ward, the poorest and blackest area of New Orleans. Now, after Sharif and I went to the airport, we traveled as far east as we could, and we made it as far as the 17th Street Canal, which separates Jefferson Parish from Orleans Parish, beyond which is completely flooded. We looked at the homes there. First-story homes barely had their rooftops above the waterline. Second-story homes were like first-story homes. It was like a bizarro version of Venice, Italy. We went out on a boat. I traveled on a boat with four volunteers who were rescuing people. I expected to find a massive operation pulling people. This was Saturday, pulling people still out of their homes, trapped in their attics. What I saw from the federal government was a grand total of three boats, Border Patrol agents on three boats, two airboats and one flat-bottom boat. And I saw far more of a response from citizens who had just taken it upon themselves to go and pluck people out of their homes. And they plucked about a dozen out on Saturday. We heard reports of 40 more people in their homes. And so when you hear Malik Rahim talking about the inadequacy of the city government, the state government, and the federal government, well, it's impossible to deny that on the ground.
John, we're going to be playing that trip you took in the boat as you were rescuing people tomorrow on Democracy Now! I wanted to ask Sharif, you have spent time both in Iraq covering the invasion and occupation, and now you're in Louisiana and New Orleans. Can you make any comparisons, what you've seen?
Well, Amy, you know, on Saturday and Sunday, there really was a large number of troops here, Marines, U.S. Coast Guard, National Guard. There's Hummers everywhere. Everyone is armed with assault rifles. And I think what many people don't realize is that New Orleans has really become a militarized zone. And I think this is the fault and the major error that has occurred with many of the relief operations here is that they weren't relief operations. They were militarized. You know, there was a curfew set at 6 p.m. in New Orleans. And especially in the poorer neighborhoods, if you walked out after 6 p.m., you would get shot. The governor gave orders, shoot to kill. And so if you became sick at, you know, after 6 p.m. and you had to leave, or for any reason there was an emergency, you couldn't leave the area. And so while there were, you know, thousands of these troops were willing to help, I'm sure, they were deployed, I believe, in the wrong way. They should have been deployed as relief operations. John and I, just in the course of our work, you know, moving from one place to another, we're picking people up. We had a flatbed truck that we rented, and transporting them all over New Orleans and back and forth just because people needed a lift. This is while there are National Guard troops in Hummers just cruising by us and not doing these things. We delivered ice with Malik Rahim while National Guard troops and so forth were milling around. I'm sure not that
Sharif,
they didn't want to help, but that those weren't their orders.
We're going to have to leave it there, but we'll continue to get your reports tomorrow on Democracy Now! Sharif Abdelkaddous and John Hamilton speaking to us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That does it for today's broadcast. Just to let you know, President Bush has just nominated Judge John Roberts to succeed the late William Rehnquist as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. We'll have more on that story tomorrow. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Sharif Abdelkaddous, John Hamilton, Anna Nagara, Elizabeth Press, Yoruba Rich, and Jeremy Scahill, Maddie Harper, Neil Geiser, Susie Salami. Our website is democracynow.org, where you can go for transcripts of the broadcast as well as video and audio broadcasts. We are podcasting there as well. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.